We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
WTIC, I like bringing new voices to the airwaves. Because one of the things we learn from watching our society and watching our politics, studying our politics the way we do here, as we discussed with Kevin Brookman from WeThePeopleHartford.com, what you see the more you look is you see corruption, you see lying, cheating, misuse of public funds, you see misuse of the public trust, you see a reflex of lying and deceiving the people as a modus operandi. Therefore, it is up to us to band together as citizens to understand each other's perspectives and be in a position to share with each other and come to terms with each other's differences so that we can be a unified force to try to create a just and successful society, which we obviously don't have. It's something we've been striving for a long time. And the enemy in this, it seems to me, is our government and elected officials and the powerful who work to have their way, because that's what people want. They want their way. Joining us now to have one of these conversations is Bishop John Selders, an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ, assistant dean of students at Trinity College, one of the leaders of Moral Monday CT, if I got those points correctly. Then I'm thankful, John Selders. I'm thankful to have you here again on WTIC.
Thank you, Todd. I'm glad to be with you.
So we agreed we were going to talk about statues. Is that right?
Whatever you want to talk about. Let's go.
Well, what's on your mind? Maybe that was somebody else. I'm sorry if I just threw the wrong ball at you. But I just want to talk about what's going on right now. So in terms of your perspective from the streets of Hartford, I guess, what's your view? What's your thing that's most important that you want to talk about?
Sure. For me, what's most important right now is this moment we're in. We're in many ways, some of us would say this is reminiscent of how it must have felt like back in the 1960s. There's civil and social unrest. People are occupying the streets. Young people call it turn up. You know, they're turning up in the streets. There are some conversations that are being had in a public context that now have implications for government and policy. So, yes, that's what's on my mind right now.
Okay, but get more specific. What's exciting you about that specifically? So I get excited just by way of making this conversational. I get excited when I hear that there are more voices out there saying all the time that police unions are a big problem. Something has to be done about police unions. That pleases me because that's something I've been talking about on the radio for 10 or 15 years. Not just police unions, but unions in particular and what they do to education and policing in urban America. But it seems to me these violent episodes that we see will remain unchanged until we deal with the union situation. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we ought to be in a conversation, and I would want to step back for a moment to talk about what I think are important indicators as we organize ourselves in the notion of public policy. We're talking about public policy. then all of us have something to say about what that is. These are the values mm-hmm. That underpin how we come to making decisions about ourselves. These dynamic, value-laden processes that somehow have politics and problems at the end of it. And so we should all be engaged in the process of understanding what that is. And ultimately, I think, in the decisions that get made as to how we structure and run our lives.
Well, agreed. Expand on that. And what's your answer to the questions that you raised with that statement?
So for me, then, let's engage in that conversation. And we come at it from lots of different ways. I think in this current moment, we're talking about Black Lives Matter. We're talking about police brutality, police overreach. We're talking about how authority, law and order is governing and is used in ways that in fact historically have meant the detriment and the violence perpetrated on Black and brown people here in Connecticut, for example. So this conversation around, as we mentioned the last time we talked together, around defund the police allows for us to have at least the beginnings of a conversation about what those values are, and from a myriad of sources, not just one voice, but many voices entering into that. And then it is up to us to determine how we move forward from that.
All right. So what do you want to say specifically about those issues?
So for example, for me, in the context of this defund the police Black Lives Matter moment, should we have the use of force? What does that mean in the context of it? How should force be used? Do we need every officer with guns, for example? And how does that make me feel safer? Because of the rhetoric used is that in fact we're talking about public safety, and how am I somehow feeling safer that individuals carry weapons that could take my life? I don't necessarily say for me that I feel safer in that, especially when I'm the target, especially when the biases that are lived out and certainly articulated in the use of force, how that plays out. I want a recalculation of that. I want to have a conversation about what I value more than force. I value service in that mm-hmm. context.
But so I understand what's driving you to say that, and I understand the perspective, I think, but there is where we are. We're not starting from scratch. If we were starting from scratch, I think it would be easy to say you could follow that old British model, say, where all the guns stayed in the station and the bobbies were out walking around without weapons. And I think by definition, it changes the nature of the relationship. And perhaps this is what you're driving at. But then if they need a gun, it's back at the station and they go back and they get permission from a superior to have those guns released to them. Even in England, I think that's become kind of an obsolete model, that the level of violence when it does occur in urban America and around the world can be so intense that they feel they can't have cops unarmed. But if you did have some cops unarmed, I wonder how that would work on a practical level. If there's a call to a house for domestic disturbance, for example, do you send the unarmed cops? And if the unarmed cops are called to go there, wouldn't they say, well, we want backup of somebody with weapons? There are people who go to serve a warrant, a fairly benign situation, who end up getting shot at by the person inside the house. How would you imagine that unfolding in day-to-day practical policing?
Well, I would imagine that in a most recent case in Manchester, that a young man that officers show up to serve a warrant end up shooting and killing that young man. I would imagine a different scenario than that. Or in the case of the young man that was shot and killed in Wethersfield, Trullo, Vega, that a simple traffic stop, you know, and then ultimately some traffic violation turns into that 18-year-old young man dead. I want to imagine a different scenario than that. So I hear you making the case, you know, and let's have the full robust conversation about what could have been done in many instances in the workplace. When a scenario occurs, we call it in the academy, you call it case study model. You learn from, you know, real cases. And so you dissect that case. You do the analysis of the case. What could have been done different? How could things been responded to in a different way? What could have provided for a different outcome than the one we did get? And how do we have that conversation? What I want to
do. So what you're suggesting is if in the case of Anthony Vega, if police officers didn't have guns, then they wouldn't have been able to use guns to defend themselves, quote unquote, defend themselves. And therefore, the approach to the whole situation would have been different.
That is correct. Because I can imagine a scenario where you just follow the young man until he runs out of gas. He's going to ultimately run out of gas. He's going to ultimately want to go home, potentially go home.
But then if you think about
death.
All right, hold on one second. We're talking to Bishop John Selders from Hartford. I just have to get a quick weather report in. So I think that's a good point. I think it's problematic to get from here to there. It still seems to me the most likely outcome if we wanted to affect the change of police behaving more reasonably in certain cases, in these extreme cases, that those extreme performances by police are made possible by a career rigging and a department rigging power structure built around police unions. And one of the things that I think gets problematic is that there's an explosion of ideas now. So you suggest having a conversation. Yes, a lot of the people listening to the conversation find it kind of scary to hear suggestions of defunding police or having police without weapons. It's going to an extreme, which may be a justified extreme, but isn't directly responsive to the problem that, in my mind, is instigated by the fact that police, because they can't be disciplined with enough flexibility by their superiors in a police organization, that organization loses its control. And as a result of that loss of control, because you have a third-party power structure there in the form of a union that's been given too much power because of their political clout, and that's the distortion that's created these things in the first place. So there's the immediate response, cause and effect, and then there's, okay, let's go to all the other gripes that we can attach onto it. Not that those aren't legitimate gripes, but they're not at the first level of responsiveness to the cause of the situation that you want to fix. Does that make any sense?
It does make sense. And I would add that there is another rail to that, which is you mentioned politics. In fact, civilians are supposed to have authority, right? In our system of representative democracy, we have elected officials, people like mayors and town councils in a city, that have some say in that, you know. So it is not just the particular department, say we're talking about police or we're talking about, you know, firemen or, you know, sanitation workers in any setting or context. But now we have, and their unions who are advocating for their members, but also those who we've elected to have some oversight. And let's have that conversation fully about the enormous amount of scenarios that take place in any one given interaction or several interactions during the course of one's life as a police officer, fire department member, et cetera.
Yeah, so this is where the problem is to me. I think we're on the same wavelength here, that in a democratic system, the voice of the people should be causing a response in the elected officials, and that response should transmit into these departments with policy changes. And the problem we have is a rigged system where you have this external power structure known as a union that simply puts up a wall and says there will be no powers, no policy changes here. And therefore, the voice of the people is lost. And what we have to do in order to get it back is to dismantle that structure that stands in the way of the voice of the people having control. Because right now, politicians are unwilling because of the power they've turned over to the unions now stand in the way of the change they might advocate for. So they just make up, I think, phony things to pursue rather than actually fixing the problem that causes police to feel that they have the space to be as nonchalant in committing acts of violence as what we saw in the George Floyd killing.
Well, all right, and I hear your point, and well taken, that unions in that context have lots of power and authority. I would also say that there are vested interests of individuals. Let's just say Hartford, Connecticut.
And by the way, we just have 1 minute. I'm sorry. So
all right, that's
just
okay.
Take it and make your point. Go ahead.
Yeah. We have other players that have just as much, in fact, far more authority to enact in their own interest. And I would say unions is way down the line. We have a powerful political culture here in Hartford where players are actually calling shots for elected officials and others. And unions are way down on the list of that.
Can you tell us who's at the top of that list? Can you just tell us quickly who's at the top of that list?
What I would call the wealthy power brokers.
Ooh, this is great. So, yeah, we'll do that next conversation. I'm on vacation next week, but the week after, we'll have a big tease for 2 weeks from now. I can't wait to talk with you again. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's wonderful. Bishop John Selders from Hartford. He's with a group called Moral Monday. He works at Trinity College. He's a minister in the United Church of Christ. Thank you, sir, for being here.
Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people.
That was a terrific conversation with John Selders. 860-522-9842. Any response to that? R.P. Wallingford, hi.
Hi, Todd. First, enjoy your vacation.
Thank you.
So I just heard the bishop, with all due respect. I think we're so far beyond let's have that conversation. I'm like, God, I've been hearing that for 50 years. Pardon the analogy, but, didn't we drop a nuclear bomb on the Japanese? And didn't we call them gooks and nips forever? And they have the highest income, median income in the country. And that was more recent than slavery. When does the onus shift to the black community? Like, I mean, good God, all these things he was talking about are just such, they're
like what? I'm baffled by your response. I don't know what you're referring to. What did you hear that is triggering this? Because what I heard is somebody inside of this urban area where mm-hmm. corrupt politics and bad diseased systems are causing people who pay the salaries of their public servants, who it says in their slogan, they are there to serve and protect, and they commit acts of violence against the people they're supposed to serve and protect from the funds that those people are paying for them to serve and protect them. That seems to me an appropriate thing to have a conversation about without you bringing up history. Why not talk about the present?
Well, okay, let's talk about the present. So you're talking to this guy, and I'm hearing that the party that they keep electing into place is causing all the problems. I'm not seeing them electing different people. I mean, they keep electing.
Well, but RP, this is why I'm having the conversation, so we can find out what the response is to that. And what did he say? What did he say at the end? Why were you not excited at the end of that conversation when he says, well, there's a bunch of other people at the top of the list besides the police unions?
I'll be excited when they vote 90% Republican in the next election. But
and you think that's going to happen in 1 week, RP? Don't we have to talk about it first? We're just opening the door to him and saying, come on here, let's talk. Let's find out about what your perspective is, because you're the guy who lives it. I don't live it. These are just ideas to me.
We've been, dis- But we've been talking about it for 50 years.
No. No, you haven't been talking about it. You've been saying, oh, you can't say that to me. We've been talking about this for 50 years. How come you're still voting for Democrats? You can't start off with the knee-jerk, I don't relate to you because you don't do the things I want you to do stuff. You have to embrace somebody of a different view. Let them express their view and then find the common ground and solve problems together.
Well, that would be terrific, Todd. But like I said, you have a lot more patience than I do because this would have been, I could listen to this 35 or 40 years ago. I can't listen to it now. I'll listen.
I would, but RP, we've been going 35 or 40 years without having these conversations because people react with knee-jerk responses about why they don't want to listen. And that's what I hear you doing. I don't want you doing that. I have too much respect for you.
I don't want to do that, Todd, but I do see that. I mean, when does, like I said before, when does the onus shift to, like, I don't want to hear the police being blamed. I don't want to hear white people being blamed. That's all I'm hearing.
Well, what if the police are to blame? And what if white people are to blame? You first have to open your heart to truths you might not want to hear before you can demand to hear something else. Thank you, sir, for the call. 860-522-9842. WTIC, thanks for being here. It's rant line time. We'll mix in phone calls. If you want to keep this conversation going, I'd love to do that. 860-522-9842. Let's see if we can get a rant going here, though. Can we get a rant? What's going on? Oh, I see what's going on. It's usually, when these things don't work, it's usually my fault, and it's usually obvious the reason, which is a very disappointing thing, but the nature of the human experience.
This is unbelievable, Todd. Steady Teddy with his friends from China in the mask. I've been personally exposed to the masks we're getting. Are they going for infants or, oh my God, it's a bunch of junk and not even a single English word on the packages. Our friends in China are really taking care of us. I'll talk to you soon. Later, bro.
All right, there's our first rant line call of the afternoon, 751-4698. And as I said, we'll take phone calls as well. Mike calling from Middletown. Hello, Mike.
Todd, how you doing today?
Go right ahead, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, I want to bring up something that's really kind of obvious that nobody ever seems to talk about. And let's talk about the guy at the Wendy's, wherever it was, you know, that fell asleep in the drive-through lane because he was drunk.
Yes, down in Atlanta.
Okay, well, the cops came, they got him out of the car, they had a nice conversation, they said, I think, for like 40 minutes. But the guy was drunk, he failed the field sobriety test. Why didn't he just submit to being arrested and put in the car? If every one of these people had done that, nobody in this whole thing would ever be, you know, it wouldn't be a problem. You can't.
Well, yes, and if everybody just behaved themselves, we wouldn't need police at all. I don't understand how that's answer in any way.
You know what I'm saying? We're a society of law and order. It has to be. And if, you know, a guy just can't say, no, I don't want to be arrested. Sorry. You're supposed to get arrested, go to court, sort it all out then.
Exactly. So the question is,
I don't understand, you know.
Well, but Mike, you're bringing up something that isn't relevant to this particular situation because the situation escalated. So if somebody doesn't submit and resists arrest and the cop shoots him, does that not require a conversation in your mind to make sure the cop was justified in the shooting?
No, I'm not even going that far down the road. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't know what you do to solve that, but all I'm saying is if these people submitted to being arrested, put the handcuffs on, put in the back of the car, none, you know, all these things, you know,
Well, that's true. So now what do we do?
Wanting to get him out of the road,
Mike,
and stuff like that.
Mike,
some of these people.
Mike, we've acknowledged your point. Now what do we do? Now that we know, if nobody ever did anything wrong, there would be no problems with the police.
Yeah,
what do we do now? How do we solve the situation in Atlanta?
I don't know, but it just seems to me that every one of these situations, if the person submitted to being arrested, they would still be alive today.
Well, that's true. Probably. And the end, that does us no good in this conversation. So I know a lot of people agree with you and bring up this point all the time. It's non-responsive to the particular situation. Cops have to deal with people who misbehave and don't obey the law. That's why we have police. That doesn't mean police get to now be the people who break the law and don't do their jobs properly. Let's let that sink in for a moment.
Hey, this is Mike from Thomaston. Just hearing Ned's inspired me. His next song should be Fleetwood Mac's Little Lies. I think that's suited better for him. All right, we'll talk to you.
Is that Fleetwood Mac? Little Lies? That was a good song. Thank you for that, Mike.
Hi, I have a question about the northeast corner of Connecticut. Has anything been stated regarding Rhode Island and collaboration? Because I feel that we are often forgotten. The corner.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's always about Fairfield. And
she's saying that in the northeast corner of the state, they don't get enough attention. And now you can listen.
The corner. It's always about Fairfield, and it's always about the west side of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually quite frustrating because we do have cases. Look at Stafford. Look at what has happened in the northeast corner. Thank you and goodbye.
Okay, so her question is, why do they get ignored? Here's why. Fairfield County, 1,360 cases. Tolland County, 64. Where Stafford is. 64 cases in Tolland County. And so there's nothing to talk about there except why are these counties that have barely any cases being persecuted when there's only three counties that have more than 175 cases. And those three all have over 1,000 cases. Fairfield, Hartford, and New Haven. Why one size fits all? That makes no sense to me. 860-522-9842, weather picture. Overnight, clouds, humidity, showers, 61. Tomorrow, clouds, humidity, showers, 79. Thursday, sunshine, a few clouds, a passing shower, high 88. Right now, 72 degrees at WTIC. Mike calling from Windsor Locks. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Todd. How you doing? I like the conversation you had with the bishop. I think a lot of good things were pointed out. I'm right with you about the unions, and that applies to more than just the police department. We both know that. And I think the bishop pointed out a lot of good things with, you know, the political cronyism and stuff that goes on. I wish I had heard a little bit more from him, you know, as a pastor or a bishop, about personal responsibility, but I'm sure that's something that can be added in there.
Well, that's not the conversation we were having, because what we're trying to do is solve the political problem. And the thing I want to do with people like him who are smart and savvy about what's going, you know, we're having a conversation about their neighborhoods, and it's really easy for us to sit here smugly talking about what they need to do, but We owe it to them at least.
Rich neighborhood, so.
No, I'm not assuming you are. I'm talking about the larger we, and I'm thinking more about RP and Mike, the caller who was saying, well, if these people didn't resist arrest, then there'd be no problem. You know, life is complicated. The situation is that police inject themselves into complicated situations, and then they need to be judged on how they respond to those complicated situations and their expectations of how they behave. And all I'm trying to all I'm trying to impact people with is the idea that we benefit from listening so we can learn exactly what's going on in the neighborhoods that we might not be walking the streets of, so that
exactly.
we can better yeah. analyze.
And how about if we do this in the light of day? How about if we do it at Yard Goat Stadium, where we have community leaders and police and politicians with a stadium full of Hartford residents listening to them? Or have it broadcast on TV one night where it's an open discussion that sees the light of day. You know, it's not some backroom, closed door, you know, conversation. Let's put these people on the hot seat, you know?
Well, now you're talking. That's I like radio as a better form, because TV people are too worried about how they look, and on radio people have
right.
conversations.
Radio's
but this is, you know, what...
You know how it goes with, like, the governor and everything, you know, he's... He'll go on Ray's show, but he won't go on your show, you know, because he doesn't want to be put on the hot seat, you know?
Yes, but we don't need frauds. We need people who actually want to have the conversation. So somebody who wants to get into the nitty-gritty of it. This is exactly what you're saying, Mike, is exactly what I'm shooting for. People are mad at me. People are actually mad at me for having black leaders on the air to talk about what's going on in their communities so that we can better understand it.
It's
it seems to me
that needs to be talked about. I mean, that's where the majority of the problem is. So it has to be talked about. So the people that are, you know, that are expressing that against you, shame on them. You know?
Well, but this
is
the beauty.
Not everybody can live in Glastonbury or Stafford or Avon, you know?
Yes, and everybody, wherever they're living, deserves to have a professional police force and a government that is responsive. Thank you, Mike. Good call, smart call. I appreciate it. 860-522-9842. This is what I'm shooting for. I want to make this station do what it's meant to do. This is what we do every day. Why shouldn't it be working for the people of Hartford? Let's make this station work for the people of Hartford by driving this conversation and forcing the fraudulent political leaders who pretend to have compassion. But when you look at the mechanisms of government they oversee, they sell the people out. They trade away the ability to deliver on their said compassion. And I want to expose them. I want to expose them by exposing them to the conversation, by exposing the community to the conversation. And when the community is exposed to the conversation, then we can talk about what kinds of solutions work. And I think any rational person in the end who's not driven by the joy of the flow of money that a rigged system, like a union-driven system, which is a corrupt system by definition, what that system delivers is bad results. The people are rising up. I want to capture that energy and make good things happen. Rant line.
Trump has lied to us 20,000 times. Len Lamont should be given a Congressional Medal of Honor for the job he has done with COVID-19.
Well, if the only way we can justify Ned is to compare him to other people, that's already a bad place to start. Let's talk about Ned and what Ned does well and does poorly. A Congressional Medal of Honor for Ned sounds good. Anything that gets him out of state and distracts him from making and expanding on the mess he's made sounds good to me. And then we can send him over to the Kennedy Center for a Profiles and Courage Award. It's just endless, the opportunities for Ned to get what he wants, which is to be legitimized by the outside world, because in his own heart, he doesn't feel like he's accomplished anything in his life. So he's trying to use this governorship that he paid $13.5 million of his own money to get as a way to justify his existence.
Stand by for an emergency message from CT Alert.
The Farmington Police Department is currently searching for a person that went missing from Stonefield Road / Talcott Notch Road. The missing person's name, Lou, is a 59-year-old Asian man.
This was yesterday.
He was last seen wearing a long-sleeve gray shirt and blue or black shorts. Lou does have dementia and has been missing for approximately 3 hours.
These calls are great, aren't they? What an effective way to reach people quickly. 860-522-9842 and Robert in Southington. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hello, Todd. I'm doing horrible. Thanks for asking. And you got some good listeners. That's why I like listening to you. They are good callers. The reason why I'm calling is regarding the police safety stuff, I'd be more comfortable. I'm a white person, by the way. I'd be more comfortable getting pulled over by a black police officer opposed to a white one, for what it's worth. And I'd be more comfortable with Hell's Angels behind me than a state police officer in a state cop car. I'd feel more comfortable with gangsters, I think, to be more realistic and sympathetic.
And why is this, do you think? Why do you think? What's wrong with the system that would make you feel that way?
Here's my second point. In New York State, they just relinquished hiding the records for police officers. And now that the records are released, they're finding some of them beat their own kids up, and some of them are actual pedophiles. And now they're not allowing, some states as of today and yesterday are no longer allowing police officers as resource officers because they are they have other prior things against children, and they were being shielded. In Connecticut, as of today, is shielding them.
Yeah, so these are why these conversations are important. We have to fix the system so that good is revealed and bad is pushed away and sent on its sent packing the way it should be.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.